Welcome to Sewing Out Loud, the official podcast of ZD Sewing Studio. Here are your hosts, ZD and Mallory.
Hello, and welcome to the podcast. I'm Mallory Donahue.
And I'm Zeedee Donahue.
And we're happy to have you here today.
My favorite subject today.
Yeah, trying to keep things clean.
Cleaning.
Oh, you know, I just want to say here real quick, I'm looking at my phone because I need to look at a post on Facebook to talk about what we want to talk about, okay?
Okay.
But that... Julie, and I'm just going to say her last name starts with an R, she just joined the Self-Sewn Wardrobe Group, and Julie is somebody, she used to make reed bags, I think she lives in New Jersey, and she'd send them to us.
Yeah,
so I just thought I'd say that. Okay, so today, what we're talking about is how to clean things in your sewing room that are not your sewing machine.
Not particularly your sewing machine.
Yeah. So we all...
Now, we have a lot of stuff in our sewing room. We have a studio.
Right.
It's quite large.
So, like, everyone knows that they should be cleaning their sewing machine, even if they're not doing it.
Your sewing machine should be cleaned.
I believe...
Your owner's manual should tell you how.
I believe you know that you should be cleaning your
sewing
machine.
And I believe we also have a... video on YouTube. I know we have one with me with that really dirty machine where I was pulling all the crap out of it. You know?
Yes, yeah. And we have, I don't think we have cleaning a drop-in bobbin.
Oh, okay.
We have cleaning a front-loading bobbin.
Oh,
and
okay.
So I want to work on that. Maybe by the time this podcast gets out, we'll have that.
Maybe
that
we'll
is
have
something
just, like that.
That is just, it's been on my list of things to do.
Okay. So what do you? What are you supposed to clean in the sewing area that you don't, Mallory? How would you clean it if you did?
Well, I'll tell the story that inspired this podcast. I'm not a very clean person or an organized person, is what Mom is intonating there with her question.
No, I thought it was obvious. But...
So I was cutting up a bunch of stuff for my PBS appearance, okay? And was doing what are called step outs. And so for step outs, if you've ever watched a PBS show or a cooking show or something.
Or any sort of sewing show, anything where they develop a project.
When you have a 12-step project, you have to do step one 12 times.
Right.
You know, so that you can be like, step one, okay, and then we do step two. This is what step two looks like. We do step three. They don't have the time for you to actually sew the whole project and do all the steps. And I was kind of losing it, actually, because I had this crazy quilted patch.
Yep.
And I couldn't figure out how many times I needed to...
step out?
Yeah. And so I kept being like, oh my God, I have to make another one. And I was like, I wonder if I can, like, not make another one. And I was like, no. I have to make another one, like, and I have to do all the decorative stitching on it and everything, and I just want to cry thinking about it. But anyway, so I was cutting out all these, like, 5-inch squares from Silk Dupioni with the rotary cutter.
Right.
Okay. It's doing it, and then all of a sudden, like, the rotary cutter was not cutting, and not cutting at all. It wasn't like there was one bad spot. It was just, like, not cutting. I'm like, what's going on here? And I noticed, actually, the blade was, like, a little shaky.
Yeah.
You know? And I was like, huh, I'm going to do a little experiment here, like, to avoid making So I took apart the rotary cutter. Another video that needs to be done, I guess. I took apart the rotary cutter, and there was all of this lint in between the blade and where the blade meets the handle and in between the little stopper that, like, keeps the blade on. And I thought, I'm not going to change the blade.
Right.
I'm just going
to clean it out.
I'm just going to clean it and see, like, how much of an improvement that makes, you know, because rotary blades are expensive. Now, I don't think you should be stingy about keeping a sharp blade in your rotary cutter, but I was interested. I was like, I wonder how much improvement will come from just cleaning out this actual rotary cutter. And so I put it back together, and I just, you know, screwed it all back together after kind of wiping. I think I used a wash, or not a, what am I saying? Like a shop towel.
Oh, I thought you were going to say. Towel. Okay, yeah. Uh-huh.
And I could have used alcohol, but there was a little bit of Windex. There was Windex right next to me. I just did a little Windex, you know? And so then I put it all back together, and it was just, it worked like a dream.
It was like amazing.
Yeah. And it didn't cost me anything.
A blade.
Yeah, it didn't cost me a blade. It didn't. So I posted about this on our Facebook page. And I said, hey, you need to clean out your rotary cutter. It made a huge difference. And then this gentleman, his name is Brent, and I'll tell you who Brent is in a second. Brent says, this is also why scissors need to be lubricated. Yep. Never try to adjust the screw. This and sharpening should be done by an expert.
That's right.
But just like your rotary cutter, fibers from fabric as well as dust particles get trapped and wrapped around your screw on scissors. A good rule of thumb, if you use your scissors daily, lubricate them weekly. If you use your scissors weekly, clean them monthly. Always make sure to use a clean microfiber or cotton cloth to wipe the excess oil.
He means
excess. Excess oil and gunk before cutting your fabrics. Hashtag stay sharp. And you know who Brent is? Brent is my contact at Fomore Cutlery, where your favorite scissors come from.
Yeah.
That's who that is.
Well, now what I do, and we'll have to find out if this is okay with him, but I use the cotton swab to clean my scissors blades, and then I oil it.
Yeah.
I use a drop of the machine oil. Uh-huh. And the reason I use that is because there are fabrics like the dot sequin, or a lot of fabrics have glue or goo in them, like when you're cutting them and they're coming off on that blade. And if you wipe them down with the alcohol, it will clean it off.
I mean, and God knows what's been cut with this rotary cutter blade that's on the rotary cutter.
Well, like, pretty much everything we can. You know, I think it probably still Christmas wrapping paper.
What were you just doing? Yeah, exactly. Right. So,
oh, actually, you know what I cut with that was that runner that we put on the steps.
Oh, the carpeting.
And that was really gross. Because it had a rubber backing that was rotting off.
Oh, you know, there's a bunch of black crap.
That's what it was.
In there. That's what that is.
It was like sand, like black sand.
Yeah.
That was disintegrating rubber.
Well, all right.
It's my fault.
So, there's not.
So now you believe it, don't you, that we use that rotary cutter for just about everything. In fact, I've been known to run from the kitchen with my parchment paper and cut it off to...
Freaking love rotary
cutter. Yeah, especially if I'm like cooking a whole bunch of like little things wrapped in parchment paper. I just come up here and cut it all off.
You know, I just mentioned Stacy in the last episode.
Oh, Stacy again.
Stacy again. She had to cut up a bunch of strips for t-shirt bracelets.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, I have to cut these all.
And you told her to come in the shop.
You come in here, you do it in 5 minutes.
That's right.
She's like, this would have taken me hours, you know. And I'm like, yeah, you
would. Well, not only that, but you would have got a cramp in your hand.
No joke.
Yeah.
So anyway, rotary cutters are our friends. And they
should
be cleaned. And your scissors should be cleaned. So you heard Brent's recommendation. You can dissolve that glue that might come from dot sequin. Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, though, if you oiled the blades, it might even dissolve the glue.
Yeah.
If you rub them with oil. I don't know.
You know, he said to wipe them off. And he said to use a microfiber or cotton. He doesn't want you to use normal paper towels so that you don't get a bunch of fibers.
And a lot of times paper will scratch things. So you don't know what grade it is. You should never use like paper towels or tissue on your glass lenses.
Right. So these shop towels are different.
Right.
They're a little softer. I don't know if I use them on my glasses.
Well, usually I can grab a piece of flannel or something out of the trash. Or quilting cotton.
Something out of the trash. No, absolutely. Well, like a scrap.
Right.
No, but so clean your rotary cutters, guys.
Right.
And if you don't, you know, Brent says, hey, if you use them weekly, weekly, do it monthly. If you don't remember the last time.
Then you do it.
Just do it.
Well, like the sewing machine, people say, how often do you clean your sewing machine? I would clean my sewing machine after every project.
Yeah.
Then it was ready for the next project. And if I didn't remember, like, how much mending or something I had done in between before I started another project, I would just clean it.
Just clean it. Yeah. Well, just look at it.
Right.
Okay?
That's true.
Especially if you do have
Some people don't even wipe the face of their machine off.
Right. I mean, just
we
look.
Know that. Machines would come in the shop for repair, and they would have, like, coffee and Coke stuck on it. I mean, it was disgusting.
You know, just look at your machine. Especially, I feel like, with the top-loading bobbins, it can be a little easier to see, because you just pop that thing off real quick and you're like, oh, bunch of lint.
Yeah.
Need to clean it, you know?
Well, and what you really, really should have is those little vacuum attachments.
Yes, the vacuum attachment kits help a lot.
And if you have a serger and you don't have the mini vacuum attachments, you are doing yourself a disservice. Not a mini vacuum, mini attachments. Attachment. You want a big sucky vacuum and little attachments because you, the little bitty vacuums just don't have enough suck.
Right, right. And so those are good for your surgery. I mean, they're good for your sewing machine too.
Right.
You know, but look, we.
Well, they're good for lots of things. They're good for your computer.
Yeah,
I mean,
they really are good. They're
good
for that little ledge around your stove.
Yeah, they also can get in the vents of your car.
Yeah.
Your little, you know.
So there you go. That's a product we sell is those mini vacuum attachment kits. So rotary cutters and scissors are things that can be cleaned. And mm-hmm. before we take a message break, talk to us about how you clean and maintain your cutting mat.
Well, I was going to say, if you clean your scissors and you, what about your mat?
Yeah.
I clean mine a couple of ways, I guess. You know, I have a soft, what I call it a shop brush. Because I get it at the hardware store.
Yeah.
It's like a big hand brush.
Uh-huh.
It's not a whisk broom, you guys. It's a big brush.
Softer.
Maybe we need to take a picture of
yeah.
it. And it's very soft. And I don't know if those are natural bristles or synthetic, but it's very soft. And I brush the lint and the fibers and all that stuff off of my cutting board constantly.
Right.
I mean, I do it almost every time I cut something. It's hanging on a hook, you know, on my cutting table.
And you don't use that on the floor.
It doesn't. No. And when someone uses it on the floor, they get a talking.
That's right.
Too.
So if you have a cutting mat, every time you are going with your rotary cutter,
right.
or even if you have a cutting table and you only use shears,
right.
you're still making
right.
lint.
Right.
You know, and if you want to keep that nice, you need to be brushing
right.
that, and it can affect your cutting.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
In fact, it can ruin your cut.
Right.
And then, you know, I do wipe it down. I have come across a new cleaner that Mallory's not aware of.
What is it?
I found it at the dollar store.
Okay.
It's called L.A. Awesome Cleaner.
Okay.
And reason I know about it is your dad found it on a camper site to clean the outside of the camper with.
Oh.
Just squirt it on there, and I swear to God, it's magic. But it has a solvent in it.
Yeah,
some kind
of solvent in it.
So I dilute it down.
You know what else we do with our cutting
mat? And wipe it off.
That's not cleaning, but that I think is a cool tip. If you need to replace your cutting mat, okay, there's probably one area of your cutting mat that
right.
is very worn. It's the place where you cut the most.
And the place you stand the most, right.
Right. It's normally the zero, right?
Well, for me, it's the middle.
Not all the time,
right.
but
it's
yeah.
It's the middle edge, you know.
So that area can be more worn. So when you do get a new cutting mat, put that new cutting mat on your table, but with the old cutting mat, cut it apart.
Yeah, cut it apart.
And use the less often used parts on the part where you're
right.
going to end
so
up.
So in other words, you
square.
Can take a part of your old cutting mat and put it on top of where you're standing and say you're just cutting little pieces, not a big pattern or something.
Uh-huh.
And so you're not going to wear a hole in just one spot. The other thing you can do is you can rotate your cutting mat.
Yeah.
Because we usually stand on a certain side. So that side starts looking a little, you know.
Ratty.
We just turn it around. The other thing is you do not have to cut to China. Okay.
Whoa.
These are the things you learn from having a store. Okay. I have never cut through a cutting mat in my life. Okay.
Man.
I can't even imagine how these people can cut through the entire thickness of a cutting mat.
They'd be like, I can't carry my machine in.
Yeah.
But I can push this rotary cutter down
right
so
through
hard.
Your brand new mat that you bought for this class.
Yeah. Yeah. You know.
Oh my gosh. I don't know what they did. I don't know how they did
that's
it.
That's so true. That's a good.
Yeah.
That's
so well, you don't have, you only have to cut through the
maintenance.
Yeah.
Maintenance.
You only have to cut through the fabric.
That's related. Absolutely. Good point. Probably keep your blade lasting longer too. So that's kind of our cutting spiel here. And let's take a little break and we'll come back and we'll talk about our iron and a few other things. Hey, Mom, what's the coolest thing that I've brought home from the shop recently?
Okay, I don't know the formal name. I call it the Floriani cutting kit.
Well, I think they call it the embroidery toolkit, but who cares?
Oh, okay.
But it is a snazzy case set of five scissors. And my favorite thing in here is actually these mini duckbill scissors. They're great for applique. They fit in your embroidery hoop.
I'm crazy about those, but I'm also liking the small embroidery scissors with the little pointed tip. Love them, love them, love them.
Yeah, those things, like, they can get in there.
Yeah, yeah, they get in the spot.
I also really like the little squizzery snips in here.
Yes.
That you squeeze in order to cut. They are curved as well, so that's fabulous.
And then there's the 4-inch straight blade scissors. I love them. I love them because everybody needs a little pair of scissors that are sharp and good.
And as a nurse, I bet you're happy that there's a little pair of offset tweezers in there,
the
too.
The offset tweezers. I love, I love, I love. And you can get in any spot in a machine or a garment or anything. And they look like a little crane to me.
They do. And they're real pointy on the end. And they aren't grooved in there.
Right.
So that they don't get a bunch of lint in them.
Exactly.
When you're using them.
If you have this kit and rotary cutter, you've got it made.
Absolutely. And this makes a great gift. And it is on sale now at sewhere.com/cutters. You'll see all the rotary blades and shears and scissor kits that we carry there. And if you use the code ZEDECUTS, that's ZEDECUTS at checkout, you'll get 15% off all cutters that we carry at sewhere.com.
So long and so happy.
Sewing out loud. All right, and we're back. So I want to talk about iron cleaning.
Yes.
Yes, because it's fun. Iron cleaning is fun.
And dangerous.
And dangerous.
It can be dangerous, too.
It can be dangerous. So you can, and I would recommend you, buy iron cleaner.
Right.
And there are a few different kinds that you can get. We have had an iron cleaner pen at the store before, and I liked it. And you were supposed to be able to use it on a cool iron, okay? So that's a little safer.
Right.
All right. But then, and it works. But then I also really liked using, like, the gel that you put on the hot iron.
I like the stuff out of the tube that just fries that stuff off.
And it smells like tanning lotion.
Yeah,
they fragrance it. Oh, God. Somebody else might hate it, I guess. But, you know, I was using the iron the other day to do those step outs. And I actually, there's an old towel here. And I just really steamed the iron big time and just rubbed it on the towel a bunch, and I got a bunch of residue off of it just by doing that.
Right.
And we were using starch.
Right.
And that, I was like, oh.
Starch will accumulate on your iron.
Yeah, so why do our irons get dirty?
Right.
Okay, because we can use starch or...
Or, well, most fabrics have some sort of, sizing on them, which is basically a chemical.
How about our iron has a lovely blush to it now? It used to be white because you did all that red fabric.
Yeah.
So the dyes can come off on your iron. What else? If you are working with a fusible stabilizer or interfacing or something, and you get a little bit of it on there,
and that's where the Teflon pressing sheet comes in, so that you don't get all this goo on the bottom, And it is you're putting glue on the bottom of your iron,
and then
it it fries and heats up and turns black, and then you go and you press something else, and now that's black.
I was about to do a video one time on stabilizing crushed velvet to embroider it, okay? And then I was like, in the video...
Sorry you had to do that.
No. I was saying something like, make sure to put your stabilizer fusible side down. And I put the iron down.
Fused the whole thing.
Brought it back up.
And there it was.
And it was on my iron.
Right.
So I'd put it down the wrong way. And I was like, oh, well, now we get to do an iron cleaning video.
That's right.
So what I do with, like, the goopy iron cleaner, you get the iron hot. I think you're supposed to take the steam out of it. I think you're supposed to empty the water.
Well, probably just so you're going to hurt yourself.
Right,
yeah.
Right. That's a good story. one other thing about owning a store. I had this lady one time. I said something about, press this button to get steam. And
she steamed her face.
No, I was far away from her. And she's like, where is it? And she, like, lifts the iron up.
Oh,
and puts the face of the iron, to her face. And I was just like, I think I would get sued, even if it was, your fault for putting the iron on your face.
Stupid people sue.
I was like, put that down, Oh, God.
Yeah.
Okay, so anyway, that happened. Okay, so you're supposed to take the steam out. You get the iron real hot, and then You can put that goopy stuff on like a paper towel, and I would put it on the iron real quick, and it would just dissolve the stuff away. That's and then I would like swipe the iron down on like a terry cloth
it's
towel.
It's like you're ironing the towel.
And so you're cleaning it like that. And that just makes a huge difference. You don't want to get residue. Yeah.
Well, the other thing you really want to be careful about is scratching the plate of your iron.
Very true.
And be careful of some of the Pinterest and internet solutions where they're using salt and things like that. And
Steel wool.
If you're using anything, it can't be steel wool unless it's fine. And guess what? Fine steel wool, when it gets hot, will catch on fire. So be real careful with what how you're cleaning that iron. And you don't want to scar the plate. You just don't.
No. And, you know, I put that goopy stuff on a paper towel, and I have, like, a ton of paper towel around my hand. And I very gently put it on there because the action, what really cleans it.
Well, you can also wear a glove.
Could wear a glove. What really cleans the iron is whatever solvent is the iron cleaner.
That's
not like me scrubbing it, you know.
It's the heat and the solvent.
The heat and the solvent get it, and then you can swipe it on a towel. You keep that towel,
right?
You know, so you can kind of swipe it and have that. And it's good to have a towel by your ironing board anyway. You know, you should clean your ironing board cover.
Yeah.
Right?
Absolutely.
You can also put a Teflon sheet down on your ironing board
or
a muslin down on your ironing board before you do something to protect your ironing board cover from starch and whatnot.
And a lot of times I see people using ironing board covers that are scarred and look bad. It needs to be clean and new.
It's not.
And you know, if you can sew, you can make one.
Yep, that's right. And it's not all about looks, right?
You know, anybody can sew me an ironing board cover, man.
Yeah, it's about keeping your stuff clean.
That's right.
Right.
And honestly, I have seen people make a lot of ironing board covers, again, out of quilting cottons that have, you know, cute little spools of thread printed on them and all this. You guys, it's a bad idea.
Yeah.
It really should be a natural fabric, either, you know, unbleached or bleached fabric, because that dye will transfer to something eventually.
Right.
And you won't know when it's going to happen. It may be fine for a while, and then all of a sudden you're going to lay something down and
get
that iron and that color's going to impart onto something
recipe.
Else. And of course, it'll come off of the ironing board cover, but it won't come off of
the thing you pressed it
onto.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Right. So irons are an important thing to keep clean.
And ironing board covers.
Now, what about, we were talking about dust and floors a little bit.
Yeah, you know, we have a laminate floor in our studio, which I like a lot, but when it gets dusty, it gets slick, or when there's fibers on it, it gets slick.
Or a piece of tool.
Yeah, tool is like ski.
Yeah, so this is like old school pergo flooring that you and Jerry laid forever ago, right?
Right.
And if there's a piece of tool on here and you step on it, you can just go for miles. Like,
but I love the floor. I'm really glad this is the floor I have because it cleans up so nicely.
Right.
Carpet is another thing. And carpet's really hard to clean, and you have to pre-pick things up on carpet.
Right.
So get a magnet to pick up your pens. And guess what? Not all pens will be drawn to a magnet. So you might want to test those before you even use them to make sure they do.
And didn't Bernina and another sewing machine company sell a vacuum that had a magnet?
They had a vacuum that had a magnet across the front of the beater bar, which you can do. You can glue a magnet to the front of your
But you also have to
pre-pick up those long threads because they're going to roll around your beater bar, and then you're not going to have a vacuum, or
you'll have to get a haircut.
Some employees we had, they would just keep using the vacuum until they smelled smoke, and the beater bar would have, you know, the belt on the beater bar would have basically fried.
Melted.
And so, you know, you can lint roll your carpet.
You can get a little child and make them pick up all the threads.
But, you know, it's one reason why I don't have carpeting.
Yeah.
We had it in our shop because I felt it was safer than the slick floor that you could ski on.
Right.
So we always.
Once again.
Right. We always. But we would have to get down and pick up that floor and then run the vacuum.
Have to pre-pick up the floor. Now, the other thing that can happen, if of course, you got threads all over the place.
Right.
Is if you have a rolling chair.
Yes.
Your chair rollers.
Right.
You need to turn your chair upside down every so often. check those out because you'll start to have a chair that doesn't roll.
And that's anymore. When your dental pick comes in really handy. I dental pick out the fibers
your dental
and the
pick
threads.
And your razor blades and your yeah. whatnot. Yeah.
I have sat and like dug rollers, like stuff out of rollers for hours before.
I remember doing it with you one time right. up here. So
see, I'm really good and I sweep all the time, like constantly.
I just swept in here yesterday.
Amazing.
Do you know that?
You should have recorded it because I don't
did.
Believe you.
I swept. It's but, pretty, you, I think
yeah,
you
no,
can
it's
tell.
Pretty good.
Oh, I point at this part of the floor that has
so
like
So that's
two
one reason
on
to
it.
Keep your floors clean is, you know, it will get
You know
up
why
in your
else
chair.
To keep them clean? Because you sew with dark-colored fabrics, yep. and then there's bits of thread on the floor, and they look like spiders, and it's scary.
Is
and
it?
Then, yes, that's why you need to sweep your floor. Yeah. Okay.
Well, another thing I want to talk about is food in your studio.
Yeah.
And food and drink, both, right?
Hashtag sewing beer.
Yeah.
Lonnie and
sewing
wine.
You guys need to get sipper cups, okay? It drives me freaking crazy. I see Karen's wine, an open wine glass, sitting next to her Destiny, Baby Lock Destiny sewing machine, and I go, holy, whoa.
She needs
a wine sipper cup, and they do exist, okay?
So
they have a stem on them and everything.
So your .com sippy cups.
Drive me out of my freaking mind,
no,
you guys.
Take,
you
I
never
take,
know when it's going to go.
I take my thermos up here.
Right.
If it's in the morning and I'm drinking like tea right now. And if I'm up here and I would want coffee or tea or something like that, I would have a thermos.
Well, yes. And
locks,
my children, when my children were younger and they came to my studio, they were only allowed to bring a bottle of water that closed. I wouldn't even let them have anything else.
Right. Yeah, because you don't want anything to spill on anything.
Well, and the other
There's
thing
no,
is,
no place is safe.
Or if it spills and you don't see it and it's got sugar in it, guess what that does?
Yeah.
That draws little varmints and vermin and stuff.
Now, back to dusty floors and stuff. You mentioned air return vents.
Right.
And your sewing room is a place where a lot of extra lint gets made.
You're manufacturing
right.
lint when you sew. It's
so
what you're doing.
You need to keep that in mind when you're... You know, when you go to clean, is keeping those clean.
And
too.
Then the other thing, if you have a fan in your sewing room, we have a ceiling fan.
Oh, ours is.
Ours is
really clean.
Why
right
is
now?
Ours clean?
It's so
mother
clean,
cleaned.
Mom. Oh, mom, that's gorgeous fan.
the funny thing about a fan in a sewing room, a ceiling fan, is you know you can lay your pattern out, and if you don't have it weighted down,
there
it goes.
You know. Oh, no, but
sometimes you're turning it on and off depending on what you're doing because it's blowing the heck out of what
and
you're dealing with.
You don't want that dust. Like, we've got fabric out in our sewing room,
right?
Like, there's fabric on our racks. Like, you just want to keep it all clean. So, in case, well, you know what? I was cutting fabric for somebody in here yesterday to send.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, yeah, we got to keep, I mean, the
well,
studio's
when
clean.
Well, when
you know?
I did.
And costuming.
And well,
and
when
bridal.
I did wedding gowns, oh, my gosh, you had to be so clean
right.
all the time. But food is another thing. And, you know, we sometimes eat up here. Very seldom, though, I would say. Very, very seldom. It's usually just drinking. But you got to be careful about food because the crumbs will draw bugs. And bugs eat crumbs. And then when they run out of the crumbs,
they
eat
your
fabric. And so, you know,
yeah,
you got to think about all that stuff.
I don't really know the last time I ate.
We don't really eat up here.
No. I drink. I mean,
we drink a lot.
Try to drink.
Right.
Actually,
in
quite
fact,
a bit.
We always have water because we're trying to stay hydrated.
No, and sometimes I'm like, oh my God, I didn't bring my water
right.
bottle. I'm
I
dying.
Mean, it's easy to get lost up here in what you're doing for 3 or 4 hours and go, whoa. You
no,
know.
I'm like, sewing is like the best diet. No, I don't.
Yeah.
Lonnie and Karen and a few other group members, they're always posting about consuming.
I know.
So much, and she's like, oh, this is my sewing ice cream. I'm like, did you? I can't even do, like, multitask
yeah,
that well.
I can't
you
do
know?
That
like,
I'm not very good at it either.
I'm not good enough to, like, I can't even eat, like, a Cheeto.
But
or,
Karen, get the wine glass away from the side of your Destiny. It drove me crazy.
Yeah, we think that's scary, Karen.
Yeah, I think maybe there's, like, a law against that I or something. Or maybe it's just, you know.
Just a ZD law.
Yeah.
Just a ZD law.
It might be a ZD law.
All right. Well, we appreciate you all listening. And just if you have any other suggestions or anything.
Clean your air ducts and your air vents.
If you have any other suggestions about things that you need to make sure to keep up on. I mean, it's happened to me before where I'm like, oh, gosh, never thought to, clean such and such. And it gets dirty because I didn't realize. You know, sometimes that happens when you're in, like, at the shop. There used to be all these little bits of toilet paper that would get...
I know. What do people do?
I was like, what is happening? And then I realized it was like a glitch with how the toilet paper thing worked. And I was like, okay, people aren't coming in here and shredding up toilet paper.
When your dad built the studio, he said, I don't think I ever knew how much lint sewing made. And he swore he was going to put in like a laminar flow sort of thing that filtered the air. Because, of course, the dust... our studio is sort of, the laundry room is sort of attached below.
Uh-huh.
And he'd say, I see all this stuff just floating down the steps. And I was like, clean it up. You talked about putting in like a vent that would suck it like right off.
Some people have those.
Yeah.
I had somebody, she said, I can't buy that mini vacuum attachment kit. I have a, what'd she call it?
She has a built-in vacuum.
I was like, oh. Well, that's cool.
It should work, but it would work. I don't know why it wouldn't work on a central one either, because it works on the hose.
No, I didn't even know how to react because I didn't.
Because you don't have one.
That's right.
Well, when we at one point were adding on to this house, we talked about a central vacuum, but nothing central about this house.
Nope.
So
good luck.
Can't happen.
Okay. Well, we're just just ask Sam's husband when he came to install the satellite, right? Okay, well, that's another story. Okay, so thank you for listening. You can get a hold of me, Mallory@sewhere.com, if you have any feedback or anything like that. We're on Instagram as ZD Sewing Studio. And you can go join the Self Sewn Wardrobe Facebook group to talk to us. And we'll tell you what we think about everything.
So long and so happy.
Thanks for listening to Sewing Out Loud. For even more expert sewing advice, visit sewhere.com.